Let us open our Bible, please, to the book of Esther. The book of Esther, chapter 4. We are going to read God's Word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Esther, chapter 4, from verse 1 all the way to the end of the chapter. It's not very long. May the Lord help us to concentrate and pay attention to what we read. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. May the Lord bless the reading of his infallible, inerrant, holy, eternal word. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee as we approach Thy word and the preaching of Thy word, the proclamation of Thy word. Lord, give Thy help. Give Thy help to preacher. Give Thy help to listener. O Lord, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost, that Thy word would be an effective word, a living word, the word of God for Thy people and this people today. Lord, answer prayer. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the portion of Scripture just before we read, in the third chapter, we read of Mordecai not bowing down and reverencing that wicked man Haman. I know most people know this story very well. And so Haman, filled with wrath, we read, seeks to destroy him. But it's not good enough just to destroy Mordecai. That man was filled with hate, with a vengeful spirit, and he wanted to destroy all of his people, God's people. And not only did he desire to destroy them, he received authorization to destroy them. He was a powerful man, and he got the king, convinced the king, deceived the king. He got him to put out a decree that all of the Jews would be destroyed. And so we come to this chapter, and we see the mourning, the weeping, the wailing, the crying. This is where we find ourselves. We also find ourselves in the empire of the Persians and the Medes. Now there's some debate about who the king Ahasuerus was. Two candidates are really the only candidates. Darius Hystaspes, this powerful monarch king, came to power in 521 BC. The famous James Usher would favor this man. Most men today think it was his son, Xerxes, who came to power in 485 BC. Well, it was one of the two men. Both in some ways fit the description. This is the time period we find ourselves in. The capital city was Shushan. It was magnificent. You can read about it in the first chapter. This was a powerful empire. From India to Ethiopia, even to Greece, we read of that in the first chapter. And Mordecai was one of the captivity that was brought when Nebuchadnezzar defeated Judah. And we also find out that Mordecai, as you know, becomes like a father to Esther. She was his cousin, but he took her as a daughter, we read, because she had no mother, no father. And so he takes her to himself as a daughter. He must have been much older than she was, and loved her and cared for her and brought her up. We read that he did bring her up. This is in the second chapter. And we also read that she was a beautiful maiden. There's something much more important than her outward appearance. She was also a godly young woman. She believed the Lord. She was a woman of faith. And though her faith was tried and fainted for a little bit, she wrestled with God and prevailed. Oh, that we would have young people like that, like Esther. She was a special woman of the Lord, raised up by the Lord for this time. And our text is, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Verse 14, the end of verse 14, very famous text. But I pray that the Lord would bless it to us today, bless it to you, and encourage you, challenge you, challenge the sinner, speak to the sinner even, that they would look unto Christ in such a time as this. It has often been held against the book of Esther that there is no mention of the name of God in it. I suppose most of you know that. But as many of the men of God of the past write, though the name of God might not be mentioned, the hand of God is seen on every page. Matthew Henry says this, "But though the name of God be not found in it, the finger of God is directing many minute events for the bringing about of His people's deliverance." That is what we see in this book. The theme of the book is God's providence in the protection and preservation of His people. The Shorter Catechism, the 11th question, asks, "What are God's works of providence?" And the answer is, God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. All His creatures and all their actions. Providence. God preserves and governs. The outworking of God's perfect will. Therefore, the fact that the name of God is not mentioned is the natural development of this theme of providence, in that God was at work and is at work behind the scene. And we marvel. We marvel, truly. You marvel at how the Lord worked out every little detail. Well, let us first consider, as we look at that text, God's knowledge. We read, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knoweth? What does man know? What does man know? I say to you, man knows nothing. Nothing. In the book of Proverbs, we read, "The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Beginning. Therefore, a man who does not know the Lord, according to God's word, knows not the beginning of knowledge. Because anything that we know is from Him. Man only knows what God reveals to him. In James 4:14, we read, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. How long do we have? How much time do we have? The Lord's word says to us right here, little, little. What have you done for the Lord? What have I done for the Lord? Little time, little time. And we know not what tomorrow will bring. What did Esther and Mordecai know of the tomorrow, of the coming of the sudden destruction of the Jews in the name of the king and sealed with his ring? What did they know of that before it happened? No one saw it coming. No one saw it coming. How quickly things can change. How quickly. How suddenly. We read in chapter 3, verse 15, that the decree was given, and we read that the city of Shushan was perplexed. The city, this magnificent city, was perplexed. Why was it perplexed? Because they didn't know. No one saw this coming. They were perplexed. What meaneth this? What happened? We don't know. Who knoweth? Man doesn't know. What do you know of what lies ahead of you? What do I know of what lies ahead of me? We read of those 18 souls upon whom the tower fell in Siloam. I trust that most of you know of that account in the Gospel of Luke. The tower just fell and took the lives of 18 people that happened to be there. But they didn't just happen to be there. It was their appointed time. They had little time, as we read. Our life is just a little time. But then suddenly, they were snatched into eternity. And they had no idea that they had a few seconds left. And the Lord Jesus says to this, don't think that they were greater sinners than anyone else. Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you don't know the Lord today, sinner, flee to the Lord while there is time. Flee unto Him. In James 4:15, that text continues and we read, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. Why ought we to say this? Because we know not. The Bible says we don't even know our own heart. In Jeremiah 17, we read, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But then as soon as that finishes, we have the Lord speaking. I, the Lord. Who can know it? I know it. I know it. I, the Lord, search the heart. I know. God knoweth. When Peter denied the Lord three times, after the resurrection, the Lord came to him and asks him and says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And when the Lord asks him for the third time, Peter says unto him, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest that I love thee. Do you love the Lord today? Do you love Him today? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Sometimes you can deceive people for a long time. You can deceive your minister. You can deceive your relatives. You can deceive your friends. You cannot deceive God. He knows. He knows. Peter surely confessed what was in his heart. Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He did love the Lord. He repented of his sin. He grieved over sin because he loved the Lord. And he said to the Lord, Lord, thou knowest. God knows. He knows all things. And believer, be encouraged. It's a great comfort. It doesn't matter what other people say about you, your faith. If you love the Lord, He knows. He knows. And He will bless your life. He will bless your life. He will guide you. It's a great comfort to the Christian to know that God knows all things. One of His attributes is His omniscience, which means all omni-knowing. All-knowing. And it is this all-knowing God that directs our steps, our lives. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the all-knowing, sovereign God. You see, not only does He know all things, He controls all things. Whether you like to admit it or not, He is in absolute control. Oh, what a comfort for the Christian. What a blessing. He is a sovereign God, and He's in complete control. And He knew every detail of Esther's life. He knew everything about her. He knew Esther. He knows you. He knows me. So our text begins, who knoweth? Well, I don't know. You don't know, but God knows. He knows. The Lord God of heaven and earth knows. Secondly, let us consider God's kingdom. God's knowledge, God's kingdom. We read here, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, this was Ahasuerus' kingdom, wasn't it not? Was it not? No, it was not. Oh, from a human perspective, it was his kingdom. But he did not have anything that wasn't given to him by Almighty God according to his perfect holy purposes. And not only did he not have anything that wasn't given to him, he could not do anything that wasn't permitted and directed by Almighty God. We read in Proverbs 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You look at the world today, you see various dictators, perhaps, rulers, presidents, politicians. You know, that boss you have at work, that person that is giving you trouble because you're a Christian, their heart is in the hand of the Lord. God is in complete control. Do you want to know more about this? Read this wonderful book of Esther and marvel at God's providence. The great King David understood this well. He understood that God is king and his is the kingdom. We read in 1 Chronicles 29, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Words of this great king of Israel, David. But he knew who was the King of Kings. The King of Kings. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. O Lord, thou art the one who reigns. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. But who am I? But who am I? And what is my people? For all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Yes, Ahasuerus did not have anything that wasn't given to him. Whether he knew it or not, doesn't matter. And he couldn't do anything that wasn't permitted and directed by Almighty God. The Lord's Word tells us in the Psalms, he shall have dominion from sea to sea. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. The kings of the earth, in Psalm 2, set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Oh, Ahasuerus was a powerful king. A powerful king. One of the great kings in history. It was a great empire, the Persian Empire. But he was nothing before God. Nothing. Do not set yourself against the Lord. If you don't know Him today, you will not win. You will not overcome. The Lord is in control. You cannot overcome Him. Surrender your life unto Him. Call unto Him for salvation. If you don't know Him today, we read of the kings of the earth and the rulers taking counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, against Christ, the Lord Jesus. How many people do that? They set themselves against the things of God, against Christ. They resist Him. Maybe you've resisted Him. Flee unto Him. For there's no other hope for you. There's that wonderful portion in Isaiah 40. And again, we see the majesty and the might of God. In verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Verse 17, all nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing. What is less than nothing? Well, that's you and me, and that's nations, not just you and me. Nations, less than nothing. To whom then will ye liken God? Verse 21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. And then in verse 23, He bringeth the princes to nothing. Are these not wonderful words for the child of God? Sure they are. Surely. God's is the kingdom. And so Esther came to the kingdom. She was prepared by the Lord, chosen by the Lord from before the foundation of the world in Christ for such a place. She came upon this earth at God's appointed time to have special place. A kingdom which was under His complete control. And that's an encouragement for you and me today. The Lord has placed us where He has placed us for a purpose. The Lord has placed you here in this land, in this nation, this kingdom, that you might be His witnesses, that you might stand up for Jesus, that you might proclaim His truth. The Lord has placed us here. And finally, let us consider God's time. We looked at God's knowledge, God's kingdom, His sovereignty, His power. Let's consider His time, God's time. Esther was not only prepared of God for such a place, but for such a time. For such a time. My times are in Thy hands. In Thy hand, O Lord. My times are in Thy hand. Esther, just like you and me, was here on earth in a specific place at a specific time. An appointed time. Such a time. Because God is in complete control. It is His time. His time for us. God's appointed time for us. This present day. This time you and I live in, these circumstances is His time for us. That should encourage us as the Lord's people. What could have Esther and Mordecai known when Esther was taken to be one of the candidates to be queen in this great empire? What could they have known about God's purpose? They didn't know what was ahead. But God knew. He had Esther there, and He had Mordecai there. And He had each one for His purposes, that His arm might be made bare, that He would show who is the great God, the only true God of heaven and earth. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. The Lord did it before this time, showed the power of His arm, and He did it then in Esther's time, and He does it now. The Lord is in control. It was a time to seek the Lord. Let us consider this time. It was a time to seek the Lord. Sinner, it is time to seek the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, to seek Him while He may be found. While He may be found. Now is the time. This is the day of salvation. Not yesterday. That's gone. Not tomorrow. For you know not what tomorrow will bring. But now, this present moment, that's the only time that belongs to you. It's yours now. Seize the day. Seize the moment. Call unto the Lord for your salvation. Run to the King of Kings. Flee from the wrath to come. Run to the King of Kings for mercy, for He is mighty to save. Call unto Him, and He will answer. Repent and believe the gospel. This is the cry of the Bible. There is salvation. The Lord saved me many years ago. I testify. The Lord has changed my life. He can do the same for you. If He can save me, He can save anybody. Surely that's everyone's testimony. I'm the chief of sinners. Surely every believer knows that. But Christian, if you know the Lord, it is time for us to seek Him as well. To seek the Lord. For the days are evil. It is an evil time. It's an evil time. One of God's faithful servants writes, "We are living in the midst of an ungodly culture, just like the Jews then. The world does not think like us, act like us, behave like us, understand us. What of our children growing up in this wicked world? What of young people with all their problems, difficulties, and temptations? But the God of the book of Esther still lives and reigns. It is time to seek Him. Time to seek the Lord. It is an evil day we live in of great depravity. Depravity. You know what has been going on in this land and all the other Western lands specifically. Calling that which is evil good and that which is good evil. Promoting things, exalting things, legalizing things that are an abomination to God. An abomination to God. It's a godless time. A time of indifference. Seek the Lord. Cry unto Him. This was done in the time of Esther. God's people sought the Lord. They called unto Him. We read of Mordecai, verse 1. Chapter 4, he rent his clothes and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. And then we read of the Jews, verse 3, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing and many laying sackcloth and ashes. And then we read of Esther. We read of Esther and she calls all of them to fast and pray. Fasting and praying always go together in the Scriptures. To call unto the Lord, to seek the Lord, to fast and pray for 3 days and 3 nights without any eating or drinking. When was the last time you fasted and prayed so urgently for something, or have we done it at all? I said this morning to the people in Kilkeel, I have fasted and prayed, not enough though. Not enough. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. We see the land. We see what is going on. The evil days. The evil times. We ought to seek the Lord. Cry unto Him. Oh, this was a desperate time. And they cried unto the Lord. Not eating or drinking for 3 days, 3 nights. They meant business with the Lord. Oh, lives were at stake. That's when people get serious. But you know, man is so sure of himself. So sure of himself. What will it take to wake you up? To wake us up? Oh, may the Lord help us. May He make us sensitive to His voice, to His Word. Esther would not go without the Lord's strength and blessing. She could not go without that. She would not go without His direction. But that's what we need. We need to seek the Lord's direction in all things. It was said of Oliver Cromwell that sometimes it seemed that he was stalling or that he was even inconsistent. He'd be pursuing a certain course and then he would just stop and maybe change direction. And so some enemies bribed a servant girl to find out why he spent so much time locked away in a room by himself. And so she did that and came back with an answer and said, "I don't know what he does. All I know is that he seems to be on his knees all the time." Well, that's what we need. That's what we need to do. We need to be on our knees much more. That the Lord would help us and guide us. Oh, that we would seek the Lord. There's a time to weep. And there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance, which means rejoice. But do we understand the times? This was a time for mourning, for weeping. We should weep for ourselves. We should weep for our family. We should weep for our friends, our relatives. We should weep for our church. We should cry unto the Lord, seek Him, that the Lord would move, that He would revive us again, and that He would revive the people. In Ephesians we read, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That's what we need. And then we read of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. And listen to this in our context. They had understanding of the times to know what Israel had to do. To know. I said that we don't know anything, but God knows all things. And God reveals His things to His people. He guides His people. He directs His people. He calls His people. And then you know. Then you know. That's what we need in our life. We need to know from Him. We need to be ones who understand the time. When it's time to mourn, we mourn. When it's time to rejoice, we rejoice. It is a time to seek the Lord. It is also a time to stand for the Lord. It is a time to stand for the Lord. It was a dangerous time in which Esther found herself. There was great danger. Her life was at stake. But her older cousin, Mordecai, gives her a challenge. And I love this word. And I love the heart of that man, because that man, she was his relative. She was his daughter. That's the way he looked at her. But he spoke directly to her. And that's often not done. Often, various things are excused upon one's own children. And not Mordecai, no. He said to her, and in essence, let me say it in slightly different words, because this is what he said to her. "Esther, God is in control. If you're not ready, Esther, the Lord will find someone else. But He's going to deliver His people. That's all I know. And how He's going to do it, I don't know. But perhaps you're the one for such a time as this." Oh, he was a faithful stepfather to her. That's what we should be. We should be such fathers, brothers, sons, daughters, ministers, elders. We should speak to the matters at hand. It was a time to stand up for the Lord. To stand up for the Lord. The Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them which kill the body." Now this was something that was facing Esther. Her life was at stake. But the Lord tells us, "Fear not them which kill the body." Isn't that exactly what man fears? That is the worst fear. What else is worse? The Lord tells us what's worse. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." That's what you should fear. Fear God. Fear God. If you will fear God, you need not fear any man. Any man. It was a time to stand up for the Lord. It was a time that was dangerous. But though she knew she could perish, and we read in verse 15, "If I perish, I perish." Esther went forward in the Lord's strength. The Lord helped her. She was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of her faith. Oh, there's no one else. It is in Christ where is our strength. In Him we can do all things. It is the only hope of man from the beginning of time to the end of time. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that came to lay His life for the sin of the world. A time to stand for the Lord. It was an opportune time. A time of opportunity. It was an opportunity to stand for the Lord. It's a privilege, dear people, to stand for the Lord. Often when times were darkest, the Lord moved. Let's ask that the Lord, let's cry unto the Lord that the Lord would do that again. That He would move. Times are dark. But it is in those dark times when the light of your testimony shines brightest, is most visible. It is a time to prove your faith, to take a stand for Christ, and to do it today. To do it today. Stand up for the Lord. And finally, it is a time to speak for the Lord. Time to seek the Lord. Time to stand for the Lord. Time to speak for the Lord. It's interesting when you consider that, because as you know, when Esther first went to the palace, Mordecai instructed her not to say that she was a Jewess. It was a time to be silent. He gave her that instruction. But now, it was time to speak. It was time to speak. There's a time to speak for the Lord. It is a privilege to proclaim His things, to stand up for Him and to speak His things, to proclaim His truth. Are we such people in this evil age? The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you for My sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad." It's a privilege and a joy to speak for the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." I'm not sure how many of us would say that. I know I failed in that many times. I was not always joyful. When tribulation comes, sometimes you can be very downcast. But the Lord tells us to rejoice in Him always. In Him, we can always rejoice. Even in the worst of times. All things work together for good to them that love God. And it was so for Esther. And it was so for His people. It was for their good. They had an experience with God like they never had before. They saw the Lord bare His arm. The Lord deliver His people in a most marvelous way. Everything turned around. That wicked man Haman built his own gallows. The Lord was in control. And the Lord has called us for such a time. Dear brethren, dear sisters, the Lord has called us for such a time. I said this morning, you know, if people were clamoring to get into the church and there'd be hundreds flooding in, that would be a different time. That's not the time we live in right now. But that's all right. The Lord called us for such a time as this. And we are to be His witnesses in such a time. And this text is our motto text for our mission in the Czech Republic. And I wanted it to be an encouragement to God's people to labor on and to know there is a purpose in everything. To know that God has placed us here in the place where He has placed us. In our case, in the Czech Republic. In your case, in Newton Abbey, in this area, in Ulster, in this kingdom, in this nation. The Lord has placed you in such a time, for such a time. that you might be his witnesses, that you might seek him on the behalf of his people, that you might stand up for him, that you might speak for him. He knoweth all things, he reigneth, and he has placed us here for such a time. And let me end off with a very special word of encouragement, because the Lord gave great deliverance, and that mourning, that weeping, turned into joy. You know, there's a great day awaiting us, a great day, and it will soon be here, where we will forever be with the Lord, and there will be no more tears. There will be rejoicing forevermore. The Lord gave joy, brought rejoicing to his people. And we read in chapter 9, Esther 9 and verse 22, that the Jews rested from their enemies. How God turned everything around. They rested from their enemies. And the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day. May we know this joy of the Lord in our hearts. In his presence is fullness of joy. If you don't know him today, seek him while he may be found, that you might know this joy, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, the strength of the believer. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.